Welcome into the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. Today is Thursday, December 28th. It's Week 17, and this Sunday the Jags visit the Tennessee Titans in the regular season finale. What a week, and what a show to match it today. Quarterback Blake Bortles jumps in with us this week. We'll cover a lot of ground about this season, motivation this week in Week 17, and what to expect in the postseason. He hasn't done many one-on-one interviews this year, but we've got him here today. Also, a week after the Jaguars' defense gave up points and lost some poise in San Fran, defensive coordinator Todd Wash explains how he plans to rally the group for the final game and for the playoff run. It's a busy show, so let's get to it. We'll start off with the aftermath of the loss in San Francisco. And what a weird day it was back on Christmas Eve. The Jags clinched the AFC South title in the first quarter when the Titans lost their game. The Jags rallied from a 16-0 deficit in the first quarter to take a third-quarter lead in the game. But they faltered late with turnovers and key unsportsmanlike penalties. Veteran defensive end Calais Campbell was asked after the game if they lost composure down the stretch.
You know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, I think that the guys know how to respond, you know, and, you know, we fought hard. And we, you know, we had a chance at the end still, even though it was as bad as we played. And that says a lot about our team, you know. But at the end of the day, we didn't get the job done. And, you know, I'm proud of my guys, though, for fighting hard. And we'll bounce back. We always do.
This is a defense that plays with an edge, but they crossed the line between the lines on Sunday. It was an issue at times earlier in this season. But recently, the Jaguars have played a little more composed. 30 yards of unsportsmanlike penalties on one drive in the playoffs will get you beat. And we'll see how they bounce back in that area this week in Nashville. The Jags arrived back in Jacksonville Christmas Day about 2:30 a.m., and the players had Monday and Tuesday off. The coaches, though, were in the building Tuesday game planning for this week's game against Tennessee. With the playoffs locked in, there's an idea among some fans and observers that the Jags should rest the starters and get ready for the playoff game instead of worrying about the result this week in the regular season finale. But in a conference call with media Tuesday afternoon, head coach Doug Marrone took away any doubt about how the team will approach this week.
Make no mistake about it, you know, just so there's not a lot of talk during the week. You know, when the players come in tomorrow, you know, we're talking about we are going to play to win and do everything we possibly can to win this game, period. I'm not even thinking about what happens beyond that. And that's the way we're going to go about our business this week. We're 100%. All in on winning this football game.
That's Doug Marrone, of course. His team didn't play well last week, and he feels like it's the best thing for this team to play this game until the outcome is decided. In the locker room, cornerback A.J. Boye is on board with that.
We already know we playing. We already had in our mind that we was playing no matter what happened. We was trying to fight for the that 2-seed. That didn't happen, but we already had in our mind we was going to play either way it go. They're a great team. They're in our way just like we're in their way. It's do or die for them, but at the same time, this is a great opportunity for us to see where we're at going into the playoffs. So we got to take advantage of it. It's going to be a playoff atmosphere. They're going to give us our best shot. We're going to give them our best shot the same, so we're looking forward to it.
It's a strange scenario, actually. The Titans are still fighting for a postseason spot. They can get in with a win over the Jags, or if the Bills and Chargers both lose, then they're also in. And yes, if they're the number 6 seed, the Titans would visit the Jags next week on Wild Card Weekend. If that happens, there will be plenty of talk about the 1999 season when the Jags went 14-2 with the 2 losses to the Titans and then lost to them a third time in the AFC Championship game. I was a senior in high school in 1999. That's a long time ago. And there's a whole generation of fans who were not alive or aware of the Jaguars back then. A big part of the Jags' success this season, though, is the play of fourth-year quarterback Blake Bortles. He's put together his best season yet in the NFL, but last week he broke a 3-game string of 100-plus ratings. And for the most part this year, he's protected the football. But not only that, he's making big-time throws and good decisions throughout games. It's always good to sit down with a Jags quarterback.
What's up, man?
Not much. What's going on, JP? Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We got you out of the locker room. This
yeah.
is great, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to start off with this. Where were you? How old were you in 1999?
I was 7. I was 7 years old, and I was, I don't even know what grade that is. Like 3rd or 4th, maybe?
If that. I don't even think
second?
It's that. It's like 1st
second
or 2nd, second,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, second grade. So I've been 2nd grade. I was at Lawton Elementary. My teacher was Miss Hicks, and I had a pretty good class. I liked that class. That was a good year for me.
Were you watching football yet at that time?
I was.
You don't remember Jags playoff run, though?
Even no, I don't. I mean, I remember, I can kind of vaguely remember, you know, Freddie T and all the guys and Jimmy and Keenan and Mark and Baselli and, you know, hearing those names, obviously being in Florida and kind of close and the success they were having. But by, kind of by the time I was old enough to pay attention and know what was going on, I kind of missed it.
We'll get to playoff talk coming up, but there's business to attend to this week ahead of the playoff game next week. Doug Marrone said this week that they want to go win the football game. He's 100% all in on that. And you ask a guy like A.J. Boye, he said that's the mentality anyway. He didn't have to tell us that, and that's kind of the feel in the locker room. Do you agree with that? Go down, let's go beat the Titans. They beat us week two, right?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I couldn't agree more with what A.J. said. You know, whether Doug, you know, came in and said that or came in and said, you know, starters weren't going to play or whatever the message would have been, I think the guys in our locker room expected to play, expected to want to go beat Tennessee, you know, not only after, you know, losing to them earlier in the season, coming off a loss in San Francisco. And, you know, I think wanting to get things figured out and set straight to get ready to go into the playoffs. So, and we've talked about owning the AFC South all year long. So, you know, although we've won the division and, you know, that's over, I think you don't ever want to lose two times to a divisional opponent. So we'd like to keep that from happening.
There's guys in Tennessee chirping a bit this week. Do you look at any of that stuff?
No.
Drill Casey and all that?
Yeah. No, I don't pay attention to any of it. you know, social media in the day and age, everybody's got a voice and, you know, they have the right to their opinion and all that. But, you know.
Do you even scroll through Twitter?
Like, no.
Do you even?
No, I don't have Twitter. I took Twitter off my phone. You know, just because
really?
It was like it's the same stuff and there's so much negativity and, you know, I just – there wasn't a whole lot for me to do on there anymore. So I said I don't really care. It's you know, I found myself like sitting there getting mad at what people were saying. And it's like, you know, dude, you like got cut from your high school football team and you're telling me how bad I suck or, you know, it's like stuff like that. It's like, why am I letting this affect me or why am I letting what Jarrell Casey affects, you know, we'll show up Sunday and we'll figure out, you know, who's the best team. So I look forward to it. I think it'll be a good time.
Yeah, you control what you see on your phone. So that makes a lot of sense.
Right, exactly.
You gotta focus
in. So why would I make myself mad by looking at this every day? So I just said, I'm done with it.
Yeah, be done with it. Blake Bortles is with us. You were on a fantastic run in the month of December. That three-game stretch was the best of your career. Last time out, three interceptions. The team as a whole just didn't have the feeling in San Francisco. Is it a blip on the radar? Can you guys come out of that?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. I think, you know, one thing for sure that this team has proven to be really good at is bouncing back from adversity or, you know, some type of loss like that. And, you know, I think to the mistakes, obviously I got to play better, be more protective of the ball and careful of that. But we got to continue to try to find ways to execute and run the football. And then, you know, in the passing game, we got to just find ways to continue to get the repetitions to be on the same page, you know, have the good communication, especially, you know, kind of getting ready to go to Tennessee. I think it'll be a good practice for the playoffs. We get our first one at home, but you know, obviously everything goes in order. There's a chance you're going to be on the road somewhere late in the playoff game. So I think to kind of get that, you know, get the noise in the crowd and get, you know, some work doing that stuff and have to communicate with each other and get, you know, these young wide receivers and everybody on the same page with signals and all that stuff. I think it's a really cool opportunity and good for us.
You touched on the young receivers. I'm sure when guys are starting to go down middle of the year, you look in the huddle, it's like, wait a minute, who are these guys? They've been with us a lot, but now they're starting football games for you. And you've seen over the last few weeks these guys really improve and kind of build into their role, I think, right?
Yeah, no, it's been they've been awesome, you know, from Keelan to Didi to Jadon. I mean, to start the season with A-Rob, Hearns, and Marquise, right, is kind of your big three, and slowly, one by one, they've gone down. And you miss those guys, you know, a tremendous amount because they're all really good football players. But I think, you know, the opportunity that these young guys were given and what they've done with it has been, you know, really impressive. You know, I think they've made plays. You know, we haven't missed a beat. They've stepped in, and you sit there and you wait, and it's like, you know, are we ever going to get any rookie mistakes out of these guys, or is anything going to happen? And, you know, they continue to work their tails off, you know, throughout the week to prepare and know what to do on Sunday, and then they go out and they put it all on display on Sunday. So it's been fun to be a part of and watch.
I think the Jags offensive line this year has given up the least amount of sacks in the league. I believe that's the stat, or close to it. So, I mean, these guys are doing a fantastic job, and they've had a rotation there. Middle of the season, guys were banged up. But now the starting band is back together, if you will, on the offensive line. And that really starts everything with this offense, run game especially, keeping you upright and healthy. That's a big part of this thing too. And no matter who's been out there, they've been a pretty good group to get that done this
year. And, you know, it's a very similar thing. You know, they're not quite as young outside of Cam, but I think AJ is the only guy that's played every game. I think all four of the other guys, JP missed a couple, Brandon missed a couple, Pat missed a couple, Cam missed one or two. So, I mean, outside of AJ, you know, there's been some shuffling and some different guys stepping up and playing. And, you know, kind of like you said, that's where our team starts, you know, with kind of controlling the line of scrimmage and being able to run the ball and then obviously protecting in the pass game. You know, so for the Chris Reed and the Josh Wells and Tyler Shatleys and those guys that have been able to step in and play when some guys have gone down and kind of just keep the train moving, it's been awesome.
Blake Bortles with us. You're in pretty good shape, it looks like.
I appreciate that, right? JP. Thank you.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, a couple of years ago, you at the end of the season said
– easy. Well, I wasn't that fat.
Well, you said it yourself. I was just going to say that you said you were –
I was a little thick.
A little thick.
Yeah.
That's changed. What's changed in your routine to make that happen?
I moved further away from a Zaxby's, so that's helped out a little bit. But, you know, it was kind of – in the beginning, my rookie year was tough. That's when it was bad because I was living close to a Zaxby's. And then I like started out, you know, I was doing all these great things. I was eating healthy. I had a guy cooking me some healthy food because I can't cook. So it was going really well. And then, like, towards the end of the season, I was like, dude, this food sucks. Like, I'm not eating this food anymore. I'm going to Zaxby's, and I'm going out to eat. So then I didn't feel good. I was thicker, like you said, big boned, however you want to put it.
You said it. I didn't say it.
But, you know, I think the older that I get, the more I realize and understand how important it is to take care of your body. You know, no matter how much, you know, you love food or, you know, I am a big fan of food. You know, to eat that stuff that makes, you know, your body healthy and operating at a high level really helps you out, you know, on Sundays and throughout the week and recovery and all that. So I kind of – that takes priority over the taste buds.
Boy, that Zach sauce is unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a big fan. We got a huge shout-out to Huey Magoo's back in Oviedo. If you're ever near UCF, it's called Huey Magoo's, and it's the best fried chicken ever. It's a chicken tender place right by UCF. We used to go all the time. They got free sweet teas on Tuesdays if you guys want to check that out also.
Appreciate it. We had Guthrie's in Tuscaloosa. That was
Chicken tender places are the best.
No doubt. Your routine, day-to-day, what time do you get to the building on, let's say, a Wednesday, first day of the week, practice ahead, and then what time do you leave here? And what do you do when you get home?
You want the whole day?
I want the whole day from when you wake up.
Okay, so the alarm.
I don't need
set.
Full detail. You know what I mean?
5:30. I wake up at 5:30. I usually get here between 6 and 6:15. I get here, eat breakfast, and then me and Chad are usually watching film by 7. And then we start meetings at 8, and we go all the way to practice. And then when we get done with practice, if you know I have an opportunity to come sit down with JP Shadrick and do a podcast, I do that.
Thanks.
Eat lunch. Then we got more meetings until 4:30 or so. And then me, Chad, and Scott Milanovic, the quarterback coach, usually go start looking at stuff for the next day. So it's usually 6 to 7, so 12, 13 hours a day.
That's what it takes.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's enjoyable. I mean, how you're talking about football, you're watching football, you're throwing the football. I mean, if you know, for me, and I'm sure a lot of people out there, I mean, it's a dream to be able to come do this every day for a job, you know, so it's pretty awesome. There's never a time where it's like, man, I wish I wasn't here. I wish I was doing something else, or this sucks. I mean, you could be sitting at a cubicle all day, and that sounds terrible.
Blake Bortles was.
Not that there's anything against sitting at a cubicle.
No, not at all. No, yes, but you got to do it while you can.
Right, yeah. That's right. To be able to play football for a living, I mean, it's awesome.
I got to ask you this. I know you're going to hate the question, but I prefaced it by saying that.
Yeah.
Do you think about the fifth-year option and all that stuff?
No, and I don't even –
because it's out there. Everybody's talking about it. What's happening with Blake? Is he coming? I mean, that – it's a playoff run right now.
Yeah, exactly, right? Focus on the now. You know, I don't know. When the whole thing happened and when they picked it up, like my agent had to sit me down and explain it because I had no idea what any of it meant, and I still really don't, and I don't really care. You know, I know that I want to go, and I want to play football in Jacksonville. I enjoy being here. I enjoy playing for this organization, and I'm going to play here for this team as long as I can and as long as they'll have me. And, you know, if that time ever runs out, then we'll figure it out then or, you know, figure all that stuff out. But right now I just want to win as many football games in a row as possible.
Can you make a run?
That's the plan. Let's just keep winning. Hopefully it starts this weekend in Nashville.
Good to see you, Blake. Thanks for coming in, man.
I appreciate you having me, JP.
Blake is not doing much media outside of his weekly press conference this year, so we certainly thank him for his time this week ahead of the regular season finale and the Jags PR crew as well. Now to the defense. The Jags entered last week's game in San Francisco first in the league in points per game allowed. After giving up 44 to the 49ers, they're no longer number one. Jimmy Garoppolo had a good day. It was a struggle all day long. Defensive coordinator Todd Wash has a fun group to work with, though. And they're looking for a bounce back this week against the Titans team that got them back in week two. What's up?
Not much. Not much. Just trying to find a way to get a win.
Not much. It's week 17. You're division champs.
Yeah. I mean, it was it was one of our goals we had going into the season. Not a lot of people really thought it was going to come true, but I think we felt as a staff and as our players that we had a pretty good football team. It's tough to go undefeated, but at the same time, we did enough to be the number one, number three seed and get a home playoff for our fans, which is very, very important.
It'll be a big week next week here at the Everbank Field. Lines around the building yesterday. The phone lines were lit up, sold out in less than an hour before the public sale. So, but there's business to attend to before
that
game, the playoff game. Before we touch on the Titans game, got to go back to last week.
What happened last week?
It was a loss in San Francisco. It was Christmas Eve.
Yes.
It was 44-33. One of those touchdowns was a pick six. A couple of short fields after turnovers. Yep. Garoppolo took advantage of that, 21 points off turnovers. But defensively, what happened last week?
Well, I think when, on the way home, obviously watching the game tape, the first thing I do as a coach is I look at myself first. What can I do? What could have I done to put our players in a better position to be successful? And there's some things that we could have done better during the week to get them ready. Obviously, it's very frustrating as a coach. And then, obviously, the players, we got to execute. There's some plays that we left out there. Some of them were some busted, coverages and stuff like that. But, it's a situation. Once again, I look at myself saying, are we trying to do too much? We have very good players. And at times, the bottom line is we just got to let them play. And I think if they go out and execute, which they've done most of the year, some good things are going to happen to us. So, it was a good learning experience, I think, for us as a whole unit. Obviously, coming out in the game, we got punched in the mouth. And, a little adversity, I think, this time of year was good. And, what we learned from that game, not only schematically, but the mentality that we have to play with and the mental discipline that we have to play with, it was a great learning experience for us to try to make a little run at this thing.
There were a couple of plays in that Seattle game late where there were busts down the field. They had big plays. And you mentioned the busts in the San Francisco game. Well, at least they're busts and not guys playing better than your team, right? I mean, at least you have the talent there to be able to execute and shut guys down. So that is an execution thing.
It is, but at the same time, as coaches, we're responsible for that.
Okay.
When we go in on Tuesdays and we go through our evaluation sheets, if the busts are up, that's us as coaching. And, that's something that, comes back on me of, once again, not trying to do too much. Like I said, we're very, very talented. And I know we got to throw enough bullets at them. But at the same time, we can't do so much that our players are thinking. We want them to go out and play with the great athleticism that they have, and that's our job as coaches.
Todd Wash with us, defensive coordinator for the Jaguars. Most of the season, you've rushed with four. I think I've asked you this a few times over the season. You're not blitzing a lot.
No.
It'll change week to week depending on the game plan. I get that. But in general, do you want to blitz some more? Or what's the feel? As the defensive coordinator, you want to push the buttons, right?
Right. Obviously, I do like to pressure. Being a D-line coach, I want to hit the quarterback as much as we possibly can. But at the same time, I don't ever want to take away from or put guys in a bad position. There was one this week I called a man-free pressure, and they ran away from Jalen. That's tough coverage, and there's not much you can do if the blitz doesn't get there. So, there's a situation. You don't want to put guys in bad positions, obviously, and we have pretty good front four that can rush. So if you can sit there and drop seven and rush four and be able to get to the quarterback, well, that's the best-case scenario for us. But, we have a big blitz package. We have at least seven or eight up each week. We just haven't been using them.
Save them for later.
Yeah, that's right.
Todd Wash with us. The Titans game back in week two. So far back in the rear view now. What can you take from that game and use in week 17, if anything?
Yeah, the biggest thing is we got to play for a full 60 minutes. I think we played very, very well up until about the middle of the fourth quarter, and then we had some issues where they got outside on us, maybe missed some tackles and that kind of stuff. But if we play for a full 60 minutes, I believe that we're a good enough football team to win.
It'd be fun in Nashville on New Year's Eve. So do you look at playoff scenarios, who you could play? Do you look ahead? There's four teams that could play you in week one of the postseason. Right. I know you're locked in on the Titans. Yes, yep. Yes. But, I mean, as a pro getting ready for a playoff game, do you look ahead to all four of the teams that you
play? You know, we got guys on our staff, some of our assistant coaches. They have to work ahead. And, you know, we got to be able to get breakdowns done on those four teams regardless of who we're going to play, because you have to have it done when you get back from Tennessee. So they've started working ahead, obviously, for the last couple weeks. But for me personally, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not smart enough to worry about what another team's doing while we're playing somebody. So for me, I don't look ahead. You know, there's one guy on the staff that I say, what's the scenario here? But other than that, you know, for me, my focus is obviously on the Tennessee Titans. Once we get done with that one on the plane on the way back, we'll have enough information. Hopefully we'll know, and then we can start on the plane on the way back who we're going to play.
Let's make it a happy new year. How about it?
That would be great. Be a hell of a lot better than the Christmas we had.
For sure. Good to see you, Todd.
Good seeing you. Thanks.
Don't be shocked to see Todd Wash's name on some head coaching candidate lists this offseason. A defense like his could put him in the spotlight a little bit more. Now, of course, the playoff game's coming up at Everbank Field. The Jags will host for the first time since the AFC Championship game following the 1999 season. The season ticket members for the Jaguars had first dibs on tickets. There was some priority purchasing right after that on Wednesday morning. And then Wednesday afternoon, sales opened to the public at 3 o'clock. It took less than an hour for the game to sell out. So next week's wild card playoff game is sold out at Everbank Field. There could be some tickets that come back on the market if the visiting team, the league, or other entities give some tickets back. Stay tuned to @Jaguars on social media for more information. The broadcast schedule coming up, the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Thursday Radio airs Thursday. It starts at 6 o'clock, the Marrone Show on the full Jaguars Radio Network, Jags Thursday on 1010XL in Jacksonville. Video available for both on Jaguars.com, the Jags app, and Jags social media. Friday morning, it's Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio. Sunday, it's game day, New Year's Eve. We're on the air at 1:30 with a public tailgate show. That's followed at 3:30 by Countdown to Kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network. That's ahead of the 4:25 kick between the Jags and Titans at Nissan Stadium in Nashville, Tennessee. Also this week at Everbank Field back home, the 2017 Tax Slayer Bowl. SEC versus ACC, the Mississippi State Bulldogs and the Louisville Cardinals. Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson, last year's Heisman Trophy winner, could be playing his final college game. I'll have the play-by-play call along with analyst Brady Ackerman on the Touchdown Radio Network. The game will air locally on 1010XL Radio, 92.5 FM. Kickoff time for the Tax Slayer Bowl is noon. What a week it's going to be. Our thanks to Jags quarterback Blake Bortles, defensive coordinator Todd Wash, and thanks as always to manager of radio Joe Fortunato. We'll catch you next week for a playoff edition of the J.P. Shadrick Podcast.